2, first verse is Exodus chapter 14. And I wanted to talk about, I titled this Mission Possible. So I want to read to you from Jesus the Healer,
Exodus,
page 5 and 6, just a couple of things here. It's this chapter in Jesus the Healer called Two Kinds of Knowledge. It says here, one of the recent discoveries in our spiritual laboratory has been that there are two kinds of knowledge. The knowledge that our schools, colleges, and universities teach has come to us through the five senses. It is safe to say that there is no knowledge of chemistry, biology, metallurgy, or mechanics, or any other field of research, but that which has come to us through the five senses. Seeing, tasting, hearing, smelling, and feeling. Our bodies have really been the laboratory in which the research work has steadily gone on through the ages. That knowledge is limited. It cannot find the human spirit. It cannot discover how the mind functions in the physical brain. It cannot find God, nor discover the origin of matter, of life, of force, or of creation. Pretty limited. All that it can discover are things it can see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. We call it sense knowledge. Then there is another kind of knowledge that has come to us through the revelation called the Bible. This is revelation knowledge. It brings us in contact with the Creator. It explains the why of creation, the reason for man, the nature of man, and the ultimate goal of man. It deals with things that the senses cannot discover or know without assistance from this revelation knowledge. The unhappy fact is that sense knowledge has gained the supremacy in the church. The church is a spiritual organization, a spiritual body, to be governed through the spirit instead of through the senses. When senses knowledge gained the ascendancy in the church and the foundation of the church, fountain of the church, the theological school, the church ceased to be a spiritual body and simply became a body of men governed by senses knowledge. You can see why sense knowledge, which cannot understand spiritual things, will deny miracles, will deny answers to prayer, discrediting his resurrection and miracles. It is to be expected that sense knowledge will deny the miraculous because it cannot explain it or understand it. The chief quest of sense knowledge has been for reality. Man's spirit craves it. Reality cannot be found by the senses. Interesting. It is only discovered by the spirit. Sense knowledge has sent forth men called philosophers, searching after reality. It is a profound fact, worthy of every man's consideration, that the man who really knows Jesus Christ, who has received eternal life, never turns to philosophy. If he has been a philosopher, he gives it up because he has arrived at reality in Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the reality, and the life." Jesus then is the answer to all true philosophy. There's a great statement. See, the problem that from what Kenyon wrote there in this wonderful book that stands the test of time because it's based in scriptures, so it'll always stand the test of time, is that we are so used to sense knowledge. It's all around us. We're used to how our five senses work. And the problem is that we start to discern or learn or judge by our five senses our whole lives until we get born again. When we get born again, now we have access to what, you know, he called the revelation knowledge, whether it's from the Word of God directly or by the Spirit. And that is now our reality. It's not that it's something that we do on the side, but that is now our reality. We live by the Spirit. That has to be more real to us than the five senses. So Jesse calls that reality.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of Christians think it's not something we do on the side. It's not really a part of us. Now, we'll try to get there. But no, it has replaced what used to be our reality, because all we could ever get was by our five senses, and has now been replaced by the spirit, which is now our reality. The information that we get from God, from the five senses, by reading God's word, and from the spirit by revelation, is what is to be used to make all our decisions, is to be used to guide us in everything that we do. It's not a secondary source. It is the main source. It is our new reality. You know, Romans calls it newness of life. It's a new reality for us. The Bible, this thing right here, is our reality. This is where we live. This is what we think. This is how we make decisions. Nothing else is supposed to impede that or ever supersede that. God is not limited by physical laws and sense knowledge. Okay. When we're learning to walk with Him and to walk by faith, we have to understand that God is not limited. Man is limited in his thinking by the five senses. And sometimes we believers are too, unfortunately. But we've got to understand the Word of God shows us that He is not limited by the by senses knowledge and the five senses. In Exodus 14, verse 13, it says, "And Moses said unto the people," this is when they're at the edge of the Red Sea, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Biblical way of saying, shut up, right? "You shall hold your peace." In verse 21, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." This is not physically possible to do. Right? It's not possible to do this. This can't just happen. There's no five senses rule that I know of that you can just look at an ocean and cause the water to go back and then walk through it. But see, we have to really get into our thinking that God is not limited by five senses thinking. It's just not, He's just not limited by that. And when we become men and women who are born again of God's Spirit, our thinking has to rise up to the level of God's thinking. What is, you know, His ways have to become our ways. His thinking, well, they're not His ways, but we have to make them our ways and to think that way. So when a really difficult situation comes up, our first thought has got to be spiritual. It cannot be physical. It can't be, oh, darn, oh, you know, and I've heard that so many times where the first thought is, you know, I won't give examples, but the first thought tends to be one of a worldly five senses thought, where the Word of God is so much higher than that. Do you think Moses came up with the idea of parting the Red Sea? No. No. In 2 Kings chapter 20, man, I love this verse. You know, these are the kind of records that, you know, we have to have in our forefront of our thinking, not the back of our mind, the front of our mind. Because when we're trying and, you know, working to believe God, and not, I shouldn't say trying, when we are believing God, because we are believers. Actually, it says in here one page, it goes, we should never say we're trying to believe God, or because you are a believer. That's an admission of, that's a negative admission. So when we believe God, those are the kind of verses we want to have in the front of our minds. And just like Abraham, the reason he was able to believe, he knew that he was willing and what? And also able, right? Able. How did he know he was able? He was willing and able. We have to have both together. And so these records really help to show that not only is he willing, but he's able. You know, we sit there and you sit there and you think about the Red Sea being parted and Moses and the people, and you know, you get that in your mind. This is my Father. God did this. He's not limited to help me. In 2 Kings 20, verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. There's some revelation knowledge. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of fig, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be a sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord. The Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the Lord's shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, well, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, because it's going to do that anyway, eventually, in 40 minutes. But let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Hezekiah, dial of Ahaz, sorry. There's a lot of speculation on how that happened. We read things about, oh, it was this eclipse and, you know, the winds and the storms and all this nonsense, right? All those people who speculate like that, and let us never be among those people, are those who don't believe that God created the heaven and the earth anyway. As soon as you believe that God created the heaven and the earth, and he's the one who set all these laws in motion, this will be a very simple thing for him to do, would it not? And yet, this involves stopping the rotation of the earth. That's what it involves. Like, that's not only that, reversing it. Okay. Oh, that's harder than stopping it. No. We have to get beyond the physical limitations that our minds can sometimes be, you know, bound by. God is not limited to those things. You know, and for Hezekiah even to say, well, it's easy for him to move it forward 10 degrees, that's pretty cool. And even that is pretty cool. That's making it go faster, right? So in other words, he believed he could do that. I want you to go the other way. And so he took it the other way. You know, we can look at the manna, the tent, the plagues, and the ravens feeding Elijah, and Elisha's Jordan River, and cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham, and the list goes on and on and on of the very great truth that God, our Father, is not limited by the five senses. Five senses is a limitation of man, not of God. So when we're trying to say, well, can I make my rent payment this month? You know, it just seems to pale in comparison to what our Father God can do, and what he has done, and what he is willing and able to do regularly and consistently for his people. It's only us, you know, you were talking about the door, the handle being on the outside of the door when Jesus is knocking, right? It's only man who doesn't open that door. It's only us who limits God by thinking, well, that's difficult. Difficult for who? Difficult for me. How about God? He's not limited. Jesus Christ also was not limited by physical laws and senses knowledge. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good in the Sabbath days, or to heal, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked upon them, round about them, on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. Well, that defies physical laws. Him even asking the man to do this defies five senses knowledge. Five senses knowledge says that the man's hand is withered. It's withered. It's staying. It's not getting better. That's what five senses knowledge says. And Jesus Christ said to the man, stretch forth your hand. You think maybe he had a father who wasn't bound by the five senses? I think so. I always do those things there which please him. You know, he doesn't do anything of his own. And what happens? And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. That defies physical laws. It defies the five senses. It goes totally against the five senses. Luke chapter 7. How many records are there in the Bible along this line? Do you think that maybe God is trying to make a point? Now, I remember, you know, Dr. Rebel said in Living Victoriously, it's a great statement. He said, man's natural realm is the realm of the miraculous. That's what it is, man's natural realm. That's where man, believing men and women, are supposed to live. That's where our real, again, it's like saying Jesus Christ is the answer, he's reality, not what we used to believe or think. He is real. This is our life. You know, we heard in the manifestation today, we're going, you know, again, right in line with the Word of God says, someday we're going to be with them forever. That's where we're going. That's where we're heading. That's our reality. And everything we do in this life should be in light of that reality that is coming. And to get as many people to go there with us as possible. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Okay, that is not possible, okay? That is definitely, I mean, the withered hand, maybe you can convince yourself that it was a cramp or some nonsense. It wasn't, but this is dead, okay? We're talking dead man. And he, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and delivered him to his mother. And he can only wonder the great joy that happened right after that because of this act. Well, is it possible for a dead man to sit up like that? Is that five senses knowledge or revelation knowledge? What kind of knowledge is it? Yeah, you know, and that is the realm that we're to live in as believers. We are, the spirit that we have from God is to supersede the five senses thinking. When information that is there that is beyond the five senses, it must have the preeminence in our thinking, our lives, our action, our believing, our confession. All of that must be preeminent to the five senses. In Matthew 14, I love this record here. Again, we've read it many times. I'm sure you guys know it. Awful by heart by now. What does that mean, awful by heart? It's a weird expression. Is it off by heart? Off by heart. I always say off by heart, which is stupid. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Then the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Okay. You don't just read by that verse and go, oh yeah, walk on the sea. You know, he's walking on, it's not possible to walk on the sea. Okay, it's not. I tried it. It's not possible. It defies the five senses. And again, I keep bringing this up because we have to get acclimatized to understanding that God is not limited. Jesus Christ was not limited. And consequently, because we have Christ in us, as we read in the verse soon, we too are not limited by the five senses. Jesus Christ, when it was required, God, when it was required, set aside the physical laws of life, according to revelation knowledge that was given. Here he is walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, okay? Because they're very used to thinking by the five senses. It's a spirit. It's a ghost. It's a devil spirit, because only spirits can do this. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, I always have to laugh this quick. Because what if it was a devil spirit? Wouldn't that be the natural way to trick him? But if it be that, yeah. So, you know, there's more going on than we see. Because, I mean, when the Lord told them, you know, there's comfort, be peace, they were at peace. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. It's also not possible for Peter to walk on the water by the five senses. But here he is. He seems to be defying the five senses here to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. A lot of stuff happening here that is beyond the five senses. You know, Jesus Christ, as always, every record that he's in the Bible, calmly, coolly, confidently, just speaking the word, despite all the nonsense of the turmoil going around him, he just at peace, calm and clear, knows what's true, knows what's right, and he's able to speak that what's right. And the only thing that changed in Peter from one to the other was his mind. And he even says it there, because where do you doubt, right? It's in your mind. The only thing that changed from him doing what was beyond the five senses to no longer being able to do it was his mind. That's it. Where does doubt come? The same place where believing comes. It's in our minds, in our heart, where we believe God, where it comes. So in order to do the reverse, you put that stuff in your mind and heart consistently, regularly, and never, ever stop doing that. In Ephesians chapter 1. We are not to be limited by physical laws and senses knowledge. The Bible says we're filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 1:19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, which, by the way, is also beyond the five senses, you know, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The same power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead now worketh in us. And you sit down and think about that for a while. It's a pretty amazing reality. And it is now our reality. That's our reality. It's not speculation. It's our reality. That's where we live. That's where we are to live. Now, we cannot think that this might even be possible, we're not going to have the faith in believing to get the information or to do it. So what makes us believe that it is possible? Well, reading these records and rereading them. You know, as Grace, you were sharing, getting up in the morning and sometimes real troubled or at midnight, taking our mind to these records, to the Word of God that we know and we've learned for many, many years, some of us, to take our minds back to it. This is my God. This is what He does. This is what He's always done. This is what He will always do. And we continue to drive that into our thinking and eliminate what we've been used to by the five senses. In Romans 4, Romans chapter 4. See, faith sees only the Word of God. It doesn't see the senses stuff. Faith, believing, only sees the Word of God, whether it's the Word from directly from here or that which God has shown to us. That's the only thing faith is concerned about. That's the only thing it's interested in. In Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee, talking about Abraham, a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God can do that. Faith can do that. That's why we have the right, authority, and the blessing to be able to say something is true if the Word of God has promised it. That's why healing, you can confess that you are healed before the symptoms are gone, because the Word of God says you are, and you are allowed to confess that. The believing you have is the seed of the fruit, which is the actual elimination of the symptoms. And that believing on that faith of the Word of God is something you can stake your life on, because God authors it. God honors it. So get that straight. If you know the Word of God says something, you are allowed to confess that as if it has already happened. Because that's what it says here. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. God said, stand still, Moses. You watch and see the salvation of the Lord right here. It was done. As far as God, it was done. All Moses had to do was raise his hand. That's it. It was done. Showing that he believed him. That's all he had to do. And we'll close in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, I love these records. They're just great to read and think about. And what a God that we have, that he would record this for us. We don't have to guess or go by word of mouth. That we have it to read and think about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now believing, or faith, is the substance of things hoped for, prayed for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence. And you know, we looked at this before a little while ago, but what you see after you believe is not the evidence. Faith is the evidence. The very fact and truth that you can believe this, that's the evidence. As far as God is concerned, that it's done. Once you've deposited the faith, the believing in your account, it's done. The other stuff, the symptoms or the results of your prayer or whatever area of your life we're thinking about, will follow once that deposit is made. You know, in the way that it's been explained in that wonderful book on Christ the Healer, is that it's the seed. Faith is the seed. If you don't have faith, your seed is bad and you're not going to see the crops. Don't try to see the crops before you plant the seed. No farmer would ever do that. The seed must be planted first. That's faith. That has to be based on what the Word of God says. And if you know the Word of God says that, then you're planting the right seed. Don't ever question that you've not planted the right seed. That's where the adversary comes in and tries, well, you know, you haven't gotten delivered yet or haven't done this. You must be doing the wrong. Don't let him do that. Because if the seed you've planted is believing based on the promises of God, you've planted the right seed. Don't unplant it by your lack of confession before the corn comes up, before the result is there. That's what happens with five. That's what five senses knowledge does. It talks us out of revelation knowledge. Don't let five senses knowledge talk you out of revelation knowledge. If you believe or you're believing and confessing the word of God, the fruit, the results have to follow. Because God calls those things which be not as though they were. Your faith is the evidence of things not seen. And you're in alignment and harmony with the creator of the heaven and the earth. That's a good place to be. So let's raise our expectancy again to the level of God's word. And make revelation knowledge, whether it's directly from the Word of God or from God by way of the Spirit, the standard of our thinking and actions each day, every moment of every day. Let's, you know, and then you're not going to think, well, this is impossible. We'll take impossible to be mission possible. God's Word says it is. That's it. That's all I've got to say.